Well, welcome to everybody, to young and to old, to those local to London and far away. Whoever said Christmas is just for kids is nuts. I love Christmas. I like giving presents and I like getting them. Actually, I do like getting them more than I like giving them. But have you ever asked why Christians give and receive presents at Christmas? It's to remind them that life is a gift. That's what the first verse of the Bible says. It speaks of the gift of life. Genesis 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So God made the whole world and everything in it, and then he gifts it to us. And the key thing about a gift is you don't pay for it, you don't earn it, you don't deserve it, you just receive it and say thank you. And when we give presents at Christmas, it reminds us to say thank you to each other and to God, which is great, not least because thankful people are happy people. And that's where Christmas starts, with God, the loving King of everything, because he made everything, who gifts us the world. You see, boys and girls, he's not a bossy, selfish king like some human kings. No, he's kind, loving, good, and generous. He fills the world with good things. He gives us life and loved ones. He gives us his son, Jesus, to be our king. And he says, here's the Bible. Here are the maker's instructions. This is how life works best. Now let Jesus, my son, walk off the pages of the Bible, of scripture, and lead you. But the trouble is, we don't want God to be our king. We say no to him by not obeying him as king, and we do what we want. And we pretend to be kings ourselves. We put the crown on our own head. Just catastrophic. And this is what the Bible calls sin. And it doesn't just mean we ignore and disobey God. It also has catastrophic consequences communally among us. You see, if I want to be king and you want to be king, what happens when we meet? Well, the gloves come out. That's the problem. And so often that's the problem at Christmas. Do you know, the Bible tells us there's a darkness in all of our hearts that can mean we hurt the people we love most. We can be so selfish. There are pockets of envy and jealousy, anger and lust in all of us. And you know, boys and girls, it makes God angry that having gifted us his world and told us how we should live, we then make such a mess of his world. And here's the issue. And you'll never understand Christ coming at Christmas if you don't understand this bit of bad news. We can't airbrush it out. God won't let us keep saying no to him and pretending to be king ourselves. If we keep on doing this, then he'll punish us and he'll shut us out of his kingdom forever. So again and again, Jesus warns us of a place called hell. And it's a place without God and without each other and without any of his gifts. But wonderfully, that's not the end of the story. Because God is so loving, he's done something to rescue us from the punishment we deserve. God sent his own son, born as a baby in Bethlehem, but born to die. You see, Jesus did not hesitate to get born into a dark world. And then, as he was born, we're told what his mission would be by his very name. Matthew 1 verse 21, the angel of the Lord tells Joseph in a dream, she'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he'll save his people from their sins. Jesus didn't say no to God. He always did what God wanted. And so he didn't deserve punishment like the rest of us do. But God's gift to us was Jesus. And his gift was the Lord Jesus coming to die on a cross. That's the gift. I wonder if we've understood it. When we look at the cross of Jesus, do we see the gift of forgiveness and what it cost him to pay for us to be forgiven? And this means that we can be forgiven for all the times we've said no to God and be welcomed into his family. And it also means, and this is so important at Christmas, particularly amid COVID and amid a pandemic, it also means that we can forgive each other. In the Lord's Prayer, we say, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It's conditional. C.S. Lewis said, to be Christian is to forgive the absolutely unforgivable in other people because God has forgiven the unforgivable in us. And you know, you can't have a happy Christmas unless you grasp the mechanism of reconciliation that the cross gives each of us and gives us to give to each other. You see, we see how much we've been forgiven, and then we're able to give away the gift of forgiveness to other people. And there are two phrases, and we keep repeating them. We need to do this over Christmas, that actually keep relationships together. Here's the first phrase. I'm sorry I was wrong. And the second is, that's okay, I forgive you. And mums and dads, do you know, amid this pandemic, particularly with perhaps kids and home working, the intimacy goes unless we keep being able to forgive each other and keep saying sorry. And you know, it's so sad because there are many people who won't be talking to other family members this Christmas because they're too proud to say it. They're too proud to say, I'm sorry. They're too proud to say, I forgive you. So look at the cross, see what you've been forgiven, and then forgive other people. But you know, Jesus doesn't just give us the gift of forgiveness, as though that isn't enough. He doesn't just die on the cross. He also rises to life again on Easter Sunday. So even though he died on Good Friday, God brought him back to life again, and lots of people saw him and even touched him. In fact, we're told that at one time he appeared to 500 people. And Paul the Apostle says, go and talk to them and check this out. Now, what does that mean, particularly at Christmas? It means that when we miss loved ones terribly, because perhaps they've died, they've passed away, it means there's the possibility of seeing them again. If Jesus got through death himself, then he can get me through. Now, what a hope that is amid the tragedy of this pandemic, when so many have suffered the loss of loved ones. Here is the funeral card of Roger. He died on the 14th of June this year. He was my neighbour and he'd been married to his wife Shirley for over 60 years. I saw him with Shirley in the Chelsea and Westminster Hospital an hour before he died. And we said the Lord's Prayer together. And Shirley now misses him so much. She told me that every day she pats the part of the bed where he slept. So what does the resurrection of Jesus mean for Shirley? Well, it means I can say to her, because of Jesus, you'll see your beloved husband again. Just trust him to get through death and to get you through and to ensure that there's a day of reunion. The resurrection, that past certainty gives me this future hope. So as Christians at Christmas, when we miss loved ones so much, we can be comforted by the words of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which tell us that we grieve, but not like those who have no hope. We miss them so much, but we know we'll see them again. No wonder John speaks of Jesus as the light that shines in the darkness and then tells us that the darkness has not overcome it. Because with Jesus, the worst thing is never the last thing. Now, I can't tell you how important that is because however successful the vaccines are, the death rate remains 100%. And Jesus is our only hope. He's the only one who got through death. Well, let me conclude and ask, what does all this mean? Well, in the gospel accounts, no one could remain indifferent to Jesus. He inspired a reaction from everyone. The shepherds knelt down and worshipped him, whilst King Herod wanted him dead. And the same is true for us. Either you can say, no to God and keep pretending that you're king. You can do that. Well, if that's the case, can I say you won't win? The God who's given you life and gifts will confirm your decision and withdraw from you himself and his gifts and shut you out of his kingdom forever. Or you can stop saying no to God and ask him to forgive you and welcome you in as a friend, because Jesus died to take your punishment so you can be forgiven. Knowing that at Christmas, Matthew 1 verse 21 is true for you. He saved you from your sins. And then you can start living with God's son Jesus as your king. You can experience what it's like to have him walk off the pages of scripture. And you can look forward to eternity with God. John 1 verse 12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, to join God's family, to say the Lord's Prayer, our Father. So this Christmas, the great question is, who will be your king? Well, if I want to start living with Jesus as my king, then I need to talk to God and say three things to him. Sorry, thank you, and please. Sorry, God, for not treating you as my king. Thank you for sending Jesus to die so that I can be forgiven. And please forgive me and help me to live with Jesus as my king. Now, here's a prayer for Christmas that says those things. As we close, perhaps you want to echo it in your heart, particularly if you know that you've been living as king and you need to say sorry and you need to ask God's forgiveness. Here's the prayer. Dear God, I'm sorry that I haven't treated you as my king. I'm sorry that I've said no to you by not doing what you say. Thank you that you sent your son, Jesus, to die on the cross to take away my punishment. Please help me to live with Jesus as my king from now on. Amen.